Hello, I'm Matthew Bannister.
On Last Word this week, Yang Tirit, the Shakespeare scholar who became First Lady of Cambodia's brutal Khmer Rouge regime. Now, Yang Tirit was one of the leaders of Cambodia's brutal communist regime, the Khmer Rouge. Sister-in-law of the leader Pol Pot and married to the foreign minister Yang Sari, she served as social affairs and health minister from 1975 to 1979. The regime was notorious for killing or torturing its opponents, and in 2007, Yang Tirit was one of those indicted by a UN war crimes tribunal. Robert Carmichael is a correspondent based in Cambodia who's written a book on the Khmer Rouge.
She was a talented student. She got a scholarship to study in Paris, where, as a rejection of the fact that Cambodia at that time was under French colonial rule, she studied English literature, particularly was interested in Shakespeare. So that was her background. And like many of the leaders of the Khmer Rouge, or the future leaders, they studied in Paris, and it was there that they were introduced to communism, particularly of the Stalinist-infused variety.
And was that where she met Pol Pot for the first time?
She certainly was part of the group called the Circle Marxiste in Paris, of which they were all members, as were about 100 other young Cambodians studying in France at the time.
And her sister married Pol Pot.
Yes, they did end up marrying. And it seems as though her sister declined quite soon after the Khmer Rouge took power in 1975. Declined mentally, I mean, which was an echo of what happened to Yang Tirit later in her life.
So what role did Yang Tirit take in the Khmer Rouge regime?
In the early 70s, Yang Tirit was head of the radio station that broadcast a lot of propaganda in. She was getting pretty senior positions in the movement itself. And when the movement took power in April 1975, shortly after that, she was made Minister of Social Affairs, which effectively meant she was in charge of hospitals, the manufacture of pharmaceutical products and the rest. Among almost every area of the Khmer Rouge's government, those areas were disasters, not least because the Khmer Rouge made sure to kill anyone with an education, which meant they wiped out the medical knowledge of Cambodia, well, almost overnight.
So while she was in charge of hospitals, 1.7 million people were dying from starvation, from disease, from overwork, or from being executed. It's not a great track record, is it?
Well, no. And, the 1.7 million that people cite, I mean, no one actually knows quite how many people did die under the Khmer Rouge. The tribunal, the war crimes tribunal here in Phnom Penh, reckons between 1.7 million and 2.2 million people died. It's inconceivable that fewer than several hundred thousand people died from ill health. But of course, people died from a combination of things. If it wasn't straight out execution, people would be overworked, succumbed to disease, starved. It'd be quite hard to determine exactly what they died of in the end, I suspect.
And what is her reputation? Was she an ideological zealot?
She was very much an ideological zealot. She has had a reputation as being just that. She was very much in favour of the Khmer Rouge's most egregious policies, which were, for those who don't know, I mean, the policies really were callous and utterly indifferent to the human cost.
What happened to her when the Khmer Rouge fell from power?
Yang Tirit, her husband Yang Sari, the foreign minister, and Pol Pot, and most of the other leadership escaped west. And Yang Tirit and her husband ended up in a place called Pai Lin on the Cambodian border with Thailand. And there they grew rich indeed, stripping the land of trees and gems, which is no small irony given that the Khmer Rouge outlawed not just money, but any capitalist practice. And ironically, both after they died were given Buddhist cremation ceremonies. Another irony, given that the Khmer Rouge banned religion, defrocked and murdered monks. There's no shortage of ironies when it comes to the leadership or the former leadership of the Khmer Rouge.
She was arrested by the War Crimes Tribunal and the pretrial proceedings began. Did you see her in court?
I saw her in court a few times, but I was writing this book about Comrade Doik, who was the Khmer Rouge's security chief, ironically enough, was one of the men that Yang Tirit blamed for the purges that swept through her ministry and her staff, which, of course, she had plenty to do with, according to the indictment, at any rate.
So she tried to put the blame on other people, did she?
Absolutely. And not only that, she also downplayed her role within the regime extensively, and she downplayed what had happened.
And what sort of a figure did she cut in court?
She cut a sort of sad and rather lonely figure. There were some Cambodians who thought that this descent into dementia was convenient fiction in order to get her out of trial. I don't think that was the case, and certainly the court's doctors assessed her and determined that she was in fact ill and incapable of understanding the charges against her, which is why in 2012 the court ordered her released under judicial supervision. And so she lived freely in Phnom Penh and then up in her former Western fiefdom until she died a couple of weekends ago now.
So what would most ordinary Cambodians think of her?
Her cremation was attended by a couple of hundred Khmer Rouge diehards, but most Cambodians will know of her as being one of those most responsible for the crimes of the period and all those cruelties inflicted on the country in the 70s. And the fact that ill health precluded her being found guilty by the tribunal won't change any of those crimes and how they related to her actions.
Robert Carmichael on Yeng Tirit, who's died aged 83.